Tipperary.
This is where Tipperary talks. Tip today with Seamus Martin.
Okay, Sean Clinton in Limerick is with the Ireland Palestine Solidarity Campaign, and he wants to tell us about Israeli. Did you ever hear of blood diamonds? I mean, if you watched that film, you probably did. But did you ever hear of Israeli blood diamonds? I never did. So let's find out about this, John. Our Sean Clinton. Good morning.
Good morning, Seamus. How are you doing?
Not too bad. There are no diamonds in Israel. Are diamonds kind of made in Israel? I mean, are they?
No, you're right. But yeah. There are no diamond mines in Israel. But
that's
Israel,
what I mean,
is
yeah.
One of the biggest importers of rough diamonds. Israel buys the rough diamonds from Africa, Canada, and Russia, and cuts and polishes the diamonds in Israel and re-exports them then at a big turnover, a greatly increase in value. So Israel, in value terms, is one of the world's leading exporters of diamonds, of cut and polished diamonds.
I see.
And this is something that most people are completely unaware of. In fact, you'd be surprised to learn that diamonds account for 30% of Israel's exports. That's 30%, one particular
in value. Part,
in value.
30%.
30%. We're worth a staggering $22 billion last year.
Amazing.
Worldwide. And these diamonds are sold in worldwide through distribution hubs in London, Antwerp, and New York, and India.
Yeah.
And they're contaminating the entire global diamond industry. And people might be aware that there is a diamond regulation known as the Kimberley process, which was brought in as a result of the scandal of blood diamonds, which people might remember arose back in the 90s and then the early part of this century, when rebel groups in Africa were found to be using diamonds to fund human rights violations in Africa. And the diamond industry introduced these regulations called the Kimberley process.
Yeah.
To stem the flow in these blood diamonds. But what they did was, the diamond industry ring-fenced the definition of a conflict diamond and restricted it to rough diamonds only, thereby allowing cut and polished diamonds that fund human rights violations to evade the regulations completely. And not only that, after the introduction of these regulations, jewelers started to claim that diamonds were now somehow conflict-free without any third-party oversight or monitoring of that statement. In fact, it's completely false. It's
right, so let's bring it closer to home then. Are you telling me then that we say Irish jewellers are importing these diamonds from Israel?
They don't import them from Israel. Israel distributes them to London mainly, Antwerp and various hubs. So very few, some do come directly from Israel, but most come via London or Antwerp.
And is there any way, say somebody's gone in buying an engagement ring at Christmas, is there any way that person will know where the diamond comes from?
That is the problem for jewellers, because people cannot tell an Israeli blood diamond from a country that respects human rights and international law. There are diamonds from India, from Canada, from Australia, but Israel cuts and polishes a large percentage of the gem quality diamonds.
Yeah.
For example, in America, 50% of the diamonds sold in America are cut and polished in Israel.
So the chances are, if you do go and buy a diamond, it has been cut and polished in Israel.
There's a very significant chance. And Irish jewellers aren't speaking out about this. And we know from evidence given to the Russell Tribunal on Palestine in November 2010 that the Israeli diamond industry generates over $1 billion per year in funding for the Israeli military. And as we know, the Israeli military stands accused of war crimes and crimes against humanity for its actions in Gaza in 2008 and 2009, which it is repeating again this minute. Israeli forces are attacking Gaza, murdering, maiming and terrorizing Palestinian women and children.
Yeah, but there are two sides to that story too. There have been an awful lot of rocket incursions from Gaza into Israel, as Israel points out.
There has been retaliatory fire from Gaza into Israel, that was without a doubt. As if you look at exactly what has happened in the last week or so, on November the 8th, this whole cycle of violence started on November the 8th when Israeli forces invaded Gaza and shot a 13-year-old boy. His name was...
We haven't got time to get into all that. But it's only fair to point out, too, that in Palestine, Hamas is not exactly a human rights beacon either.
Well, Hamas is a resistance force.
Yeah, but what I mean is, its treatment of women and other groups is not exactly shiny star human rights stuff.
Well, I'm sure there's room for improvement in all areas of yeah.
But anyway, you have raised a very interesting point about those diamonds, because I certainly wasn't aware of it.
Well, yeah, and I think it's time that Irish jewellers stood up and called for, because actually just next week there's a Kimberley process meeting when this issue of the definition of a conflict diamond is up for review in Washington. And I would really call on Irish jewellers now to come out and call for a ban on the trade and cut and polish diamonds from Israel that are funding war crimes. Because until that happens, people can have no confidence in the ethical provenance of any diamond sold here in Ireland or worldwide.
All right, thank you very much, Sean Clinton, for talking to us. Sean Clinton is with the Ireland-Palestine Solidarity Campaign.